started with the tools that were at that time available in open source, like Stable Diffusion, LoRaS, ControlNet. You know, we build our own analytical tools to check and spot the patterns, you know, and create like thousands of non-existent paintings from that author, so just AI could learn.
Welcome to the AI Advantage, where modern leaders decode the future of tech. I'm Solomon Williams, founder of Solonox. So here, it's no noise, no hype every week. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes it's the brightest minds in tech, breaking down what it really takes to grow smarter with AI and automation. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to the AI Advantage, Smart Tech for Modern Leaders. I'm your host, Solomon Williams. Today, I'm joined by Yann Antropov. He's the co-founder of AI Vanguard Art. It's really interesting, everyone, that it's a project really focused on using AI, science, and craftsmanship to bring lost cultural heritage back to life. So, Yann, instead of me going too deep and telling your story, you know, why don't you start by just introducing yourself and just sharing with our audience, you know, what led you to this work? Because it's so fascinating.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for having me, Solomon, yeah, in your podcast. I'm really excited to share our history that's behind in from AI Vanguard Art. Yes. We bring basically the rigor to two things: that we resurrect lost masterpieces, yes, and we also strengthen the art authentication, yes, with the latest technologies in the AI industry, yeah, and the art industry as well. Yeah, so we kind of mixed like five different fields, yes, like documentoscopy, art research, AI tooling, yeah, laboratory to analyze the pigments, everything, yeah. And this idea sparked like 8 years ago, yes, when a friend of mine asked to help and assist in selling a Goya collection, nine portraits, yeah. At that time, I had no clue on the art, regarding art at all. Yeah, I was just a software engineer. So I said, well, okay, I will try to help you. Yeah, I will try to help you because my best friend, Manuel Portela, he's based in America. Yeah. And he had some interactions with the art world, yes, and had a good reputation because he was working in with UNESCO, you know. So I picked the phone, called him, and I said, "Hey, Manuel, do you want to help me selling few portraits, few pieces, paintings from a real good royal family?" Yes, it was a good friend there in contact. So the provenance, yes, was really good. Yeah, that's why we accepted this short or sort of job, you know. And that decision took us to such an odyssey, yeah, such an endeavor that we had no idea, no clue that we will get to today's with this new technology, new ideas and everything. During the 8 years, we studied a lot, learned a lot in the art world, the pros and the cons, what there is missing, the problems they have, you know, for the evaluation expertise. And on the other side, we were learning the AI, how it's advancing, yes, and where it can be used, you know. That time, there was not much use or hype for generative images, yes, with like a Stable Diffusion or I don't know, Sora with videos, you know, or ChatGPT. There was nothing like that. But what was there, analytical side of things, you know, it helped to define the different patterns, yes, and structures. So we started from there, yes, but it didn't, at that time, it haven't got our the main idea to resurrect lost heritage, yes, because we were trying to really establish and authenticate that the paintings that we had, they were really by the Goya at that time, yes. We made different analyses, like the pigments analysis with reputable laboratories, yes. We contacted different art historians as well, yes. Documentoscopic analysis, everything, yes. At the end, it showed that they were not made by Goya, because the pigments at that time, they were older, you know, from the 15th century, not from from the 18th, where was the Goya, yeah, and that was the conclusion. But there were four paintings, yes?
Yeah, so not to cut you off, like, or the listeners and so forth, what is a Goya, if people don't know, what is a Goya?
Well, Francisco de Goya is a painter, a famous painting, Spanish painter, yes. He painted, like, really beautiful portraits, nature. Well, he had different styles as well during his life, because he changed the style. That's where also we were kind of, well, thoughtful that maybe he just changed the style, and that's why no one recognizing them as Goyas. But now, mathematics, laboratories, the science shows the truth. Yeah. No art expert with the human eye can identify it and say, yeah, this is 100% painting from X author, you know. No Got way. It. We Got were it. Devastated. Yeah, no worries. We were devastated there. But four of those paintings were different. These were Roman emperors, yes, painted in really different style. And the canvas was different because it was sealed together, you know, irregularly. There were also the brush strokes were better done. There was glazing technique around them, which is only done by the big masters, the old masters there. So we started to investigate those ones, yes, and did an analytical research on the Titian palette, the colors, the color palettes, yes. Because we found Titian painted 11 scissors, yes. And there was the 12th one added by Bernardo Campi. He was a copyist in the time period of Titian. Titian is also a very known artist painter, yes. And we thought, wow, maybe we have the originals. It's better than Goya's, well. Because the provenance of this royal family was, like, you cannot find better story behind, you know. Their ancestors were the housekeepers, the keeper, yeah, of the royal, the Alcázar. It's the palace here in Madrid that was burned out in 1734, yes. It was the devastated fire there. The duration was 3 days, but they couldn't save all the art, you know, and it was lost. Lots of paintings, everything was lost. Some of them could be, were saved, yes, and are now in some galleries, but the woman that was in charge to kind of look for the wall palace, yes, was an ancestor of this family. And she had her home not very far from the palace as well, you know. And by history, some of the paintings were carried to that home. So we thought, okay, she saved four of the 12. Pigments were real, all matched. Everything matched, even the red pigment. It was done, like, in old times with from cochinilla. It's a bug that produces the red pigment color. Yeah, and that there are two different bugs. Yes, the American one, South America cochinilla, and the European one. The European one was appeared later on, not in Titian time, but the South America one was during the Titian time. But then the question was, how we know that was that the pigment, you know, and from that current bug. So we investigated that red pigment with different laboratories and established it was the correct one. Yeah, because in the existing paintings from Titian, it was also used that one. So we compared everything. It was matched. Yes. Pigments were matched. The way of the canvas, how it was done, also was matched. And the structure, the kind of that canvas was just used by Titian. Yes. So it's another match. Lots of good matches there that we really thought it's real paintings. But during our research, when we sent those paintings to America for analysis, yes, of the first layers, yes, and check if there's something behind the canon, if there are some marks or stamps, yes, because the history showed those paintings were sold to royal family England, from England, yes, and they were sold to the Spanish royal family. So, and usually all those paintings that were held by those families had some marks or stamps, you know. Unfortunately, those didn't had any, yeah, and by history or by everyone, the story showed that they were burned out, yeah. We found more red flags, little ones, and the result was not the real ones, but real good copies by Bernardo Campi, most likely, yeah, because he made the four sets of them. And the first set is in Mantua, in Italy, yes, but still, the glazing technique, he never used that one, you know, and this habit, you know, so maybe probably there was some other copies, really good one, you know, that made them. At that time, a second devastation, yeah, we were like really sad about everything, that's so much time, money wasted, you know, but we gained a lot of experience, a lot of good contacts and friends in this field. And at that time, we said to Manuel, well, let's resurrect them. So see if they really looked like the originals or not. And he said, how? I said, we will use AI here, yes, and mix different fields to have the final result and help recover all the lost heritage that we, you know, had, that missed, yeah, and give it a second chance.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's so fascinating, especially with, and even with you, Gin, like you just coming from the software engineering and you coming into that, you know, you not knowing much on anything on, and then learning as continuous, like continued iterations of this. Yeah. Of retrospectives of what worked, you know, what even what you'd say is, you know, disappointments, but really made through and helped you with these breakthroughs. So even now, I think I have to commend you on, like, I know there's a lot of thought leadership now with your team. Like, I think where there was one through research that you had a white paper going on from Japan, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like on,
yes,
cyber war, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, 2024, yeah, in October, past year.
Right. Yeah, so what, you know, not to skip over too much, what is it, do you think, on, you know, other governments and other places that are taking interest? What is it that you've seen that they're saying, hey, we want this as part of our cultural significance and, you know, remastering and bringing this back to life?
Yeah, well, all of them have the same core idea, is to recover the lost heritage, cultural heritage, yes, and give a second chance to all of us to see them again, you know, and kind of help or do that, the authentication, yes, is strictly done, yeah. And so it's never lost again, you know, and preserve it, basically, yeah.
Yeah, it's so great on this. So right now, I know there was one that you've just had. Can you tell us a little bit, the listeners, on the newest project that you've, the 12 Caesars? Can you kind of explain, like, what was the goal of it now that you've kind of figured out what were the flaws, I guess you could say, and you learned from that? Tell us a little bit about, like, of that project and that success, and, you know, bring it to it now.
Okay, yeah. Well, the time frames, I will narrow down the time frames, yes, of all the project itself. We started with the tools that were at that time available in open source, like Stable Diffusion, LoRAS, ControlNet. You know, we build our own analytical tools to check and spot the patterns, you know, and create like thousands of non-existent paintings from that author, so just AI could learn, you know, because the data set was so limited, there was not enough paintings from that author. So we had to cut that down from all the Renaissance painting and style, yes, then iterate it, then get the author, the Titian, yes, and also different kind of layers from Rubens, Tintoretto, that got inspired by Titian, yeah. So it checks for really differences, but not really huge ones, yeah, you know, to spot and learn. And then the iteration, you know, like we had to come up with five different LoRAs for just the space, the hands, the clothes, the colors, all that, that had to be calculated in the pipeline to give the final result, yes, that will go to the documentoscopic analysis and art historian for the evaluation, yes, with our current painter, yes, Stewart Seward, and all of them verificate if it matches or not. Yes, what's the errors, yeah, to be fixed? Yeah, so we in the prompts and in the code we modificate it and get back to the first step again and do it again and again and again. That took us a few years to do that. Yeah, and why the 12 Caesars? Yes, because we had so much experience with them, you know, by analyzing and everything. We had engravings, we had the sketchbook from the copyist of that time, you know. We had lots of things that helped us to feed our AI, yes, in order to guide it a little bit, yes, and kind of build the tools that we are using now. But still, at that time, we couldn't advance, you know. We were missing something. We kind of hit the wall, you know. We found Professor Hassan Ogayil. He's a professor in Bradford University. And he helped us with different algorithms. At that time, he had an algorithm to verificate and the percentage of the style, yes, if it's from the outer or not, yes, and the different places of spots of the painting, yeah. So altogether, we decided to use that tool and kind of incorporate it in different layers, then create new ones based on these ideas that we had, and mixing all of that, we had the result that we could use, you know, to help our artist to paint in physically, yeah. Because the difference is we're not just creating it digitally, you know. What our main mission is to bring it live in the real world, physically. Same style, same pigments. The pigments are done like in all times, like this outer was doing them, you know. The canvas, same canvas from that century. Everything as much as possible, you know. Of course, you will never get the 100% the true one that's been lost, sure, and have the fingerprints from the outer. But if we can get 95% or 99%, I mean, we won. Like, it's done. So last year, yeah, mid of 2024, we finally finished our first painting, the Julius Caesar. Yes. This one will be revealed in a few months, yes, in a press conference. And I hope that, well, everyone, the world will really like it, because at the moment, everyone who saw our painting were fascinated, like, wow. Yeah. Curious things to note during the process of developing this pipeline, yeah, we've faced a little kind of hallucinations for our AI, yeah, but a specific one. It was doing 3D, you know, images somehow in different parts of it. So we didn't understand why it was doing that, because we had such data set, like strictly data set that was meticulously crafted, you know. But the fun fact was that different paintings that were not restored, yes, in the museums, had that visually effect of 3D. Because of the glazing technique, you know, like you kind of have that by in the images, you know, not all of them, but they have that. So the AI incorporated that 3D effect just by few images. Yes, we found that out because the final result, which we are also doing a movie, narrowing all the history, giving and feeding the current image of the current of the painting, always was 3D moving something, the hand or something. Why? Like, it's a static thing, you know, it shouldn't be moving. And it showed the 3D effect there, and in the prompt, in internal prompt that he made himself. Himself, the AI, was reading the 3D effect. Yeah. And we found also in our current pipeline that there was some spots of the 3D. So we removed that completely and got way better in the results in the digital ones. Yeah. The refinement of the process was hard, but thankfully we have a great team. They are great, you know. They are their reputation is really, really huge worldwide. I'm very happy they joined it, this project, this endeavor. Yeah, thanks to all of them, the result is finalized. Yeah, what's been just a dream, it came to reality. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I know. I love that. You brought up a good point on AI hallucinations, you know, especially now, even with it can happen with us, with, you know, with coders, with, you know, anything of this time as it becomes more widely used, there's that fact checking. You have to kind of go behind and looking. So as you move forward, you know, with these next projects and after, you know, the press conference of it being successful and hopefully going on to doing, you know, new ones, how does your team, have you figured out, what does your team do to ensure the authenticity of it when accuracy is everything, you want to keep it as best as you can to the original time frame. What have you learned from those iterations that you have before?
Of course, the more information that you have from the disappeared, destroyed artifact, yeah, it will be easier to resurrect it, yes. So easier, you kind of cut down the time frame, yeah, but not the easy path, to be honest, you know, because it still have to pass through all the pipeline, you know. Even if you have a video of it, you know, like, it doesn't matter because the process is the same, you know. And the authentication, it's done by our art experts, yes, and by our company that we are now cooperating, yes, that's doing the authenticity and the certification in the blockchain. It's FTI Consulting, yes. They are very reputable in this sector. So that's basically two fields that authenticate and give the approval. Yes, plus our own tools that calculate the similarities between the patterns of and the brush strokes, everything like that. Yeah, we also narrow down the similarity. Yes, or the percentage of, or like, is it like the real one? Like it was looking like the real one, or how much missing information we have? Yeah, and how much percentage is kind of not invented, but speculate a little bit, you know, like filled gaps, but all they are all filled based on something, you know, something real, yes, and approved by those institutions. So we never invent anything, you know, we always do our job in, based on the true facts that are accepted currently, yes, in the art world and in digital certifications. Yes, that's NFTs, yes, the word NFT, I don't really like that word, the digital asset, let's call it that way. Yeah, the provenance there.
And I'll get to that. That's actually a good piece, but I want to, you know, really kind of highlight on the victories that you've had, and I'll go into the digital asset part in a little bit, but because I want to be conscious of our time. You know, with that being, you know, after doing my due diligence, I've seen that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the, you know, the first resurrected painting is still under review for, it's, if I'm correct, on a $50 million evaluation. Is that accurate?
Yes, the first evaluation was done by art experts, by physical art, from the physical art industry. And the second one is the FTI consulting that are doing the evaluation, the appraisal by both the idea behind of this, of the certification authenticity digital assets, yes, and the physical one, yes. So they mix all together and give the final result. Yes, it's around that price tag, yes.
Yeah.
Because how can you evaluate something that's been never done before, you know? Like, how? So you have to analyze the digital asset market, yes.
Right.
The NFTs ones, for example, there is art, there are collectionables, there is digital assets, the blue chips, you know, different ones. Yeah. It's a big evaluation of the what's really happening there. Yeah. To kind of get the middle ground. Yeah. And then you have to come to the physical one and analyze the paintings from the kind of a wall market, and then from the author that you're resurrecting the painting from, you know, and all that brings us to those price tags. Yeah. But again, you know, in NFTs, for example, the prices are just crazy, you know, and the art market and or NFT market, there is no really strict rule of how much anything costs, you know, like it's up to the client, if, you know, and the battle of different clients to get that current unique art.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. It was difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, that's a congratulations to you and your team. Like, but with that, with the FT, with them, how does that make you feel? That's a big milestone. So is that validate that, or is it really just the culmination of the project of you getting it? Like, what does that milestone really mean for you? Or is it not about the money? Is it more about just you actually, your team and you have, through iteration after iteration, brought forth as best as possible this resurrected piece from history, from ancient history?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the first milestone to get to the process of appraisal and valuation of the really big, huge experts like FTI, for example, yes, or the art experts. First, you will have to kind of show that scientifically, you really did the things correctly, yeah, and that the final result exists, the object, yes. And the publication of our white paper, the scientific white paper in Cyberworld 2024 helped us tremendously, yes. That gave us a boost, like we're an institution, scientific institution, yes, to recover cultural heritage, yes. Then we advanced, then we got the art valuation from the physical industry field, and alongside with FTI, yes. What that gave us? That gave us, sure, the bulletproof, yeah, that our process was correctly done and accepted by the kind of the ones that do the laws, yes, let's call it that way, you know, the final process of acceptance, and we passed that, yes. So we established ourselves like a real scientific company that really resurrects and can do that for real, to resurrect their lost heritage. And that's why they accepted to join this idea, you know, and evaluate something that was never done before, you know, because that's really also a huge kind of red line, really thin line for companies like with such names or people. But they were really fascinated about the process and the results. So we didn't have any problems with that. And everyone is just happy that we can bring back something that we lost, you know. We want to, our whole team wants to leave something before we die, right? To leave a mark there. So yeah, we're happy about that.
Yeah, no, I'm excited too. So on the part of the digital asset, the NFT, and really as for audiences that want to know, like, what is it? Is mostly for AF Vanguard as your mission? As your mission, you want to bring back, you know, historical and resurrect these times. But for the everyday, is it only just for the governments and for the museums for them to have that? Is it like for myself or another collector who would be interested in that? How does that work in terms of the, you know, the digital asset of kind of claiming that to utilize for if they want to have to speak on that?
Yeah. So the thing here that we kind of mixed two worlds, the physical and digital. Yes. As we know, the digital assets, the NFTs are not linked to something physical. Yes. They some of them give some perks, you know, different perks, but usually it's just a digital image. Yes. That carries, the ownership that you're the only one that has that. The copyrights, yeah, of that image, but significantly doesn't really care much behind in terms of scientifically research or, you know, a strong background history or, you know, something valuable, really valuable behind. Yeah. That being said, I'm not discrediting the NFT market, but there was a lot of speculations there, you know, and it wasn't really used as it was planned to use the non-fungible tokens, you know. Here we are using the digital side like a provenance, like a certification, you know.
Got it.
That's got it. The certification that gives you the knowledge that you're both digital one copyrights, yes, and the physical one are your of your own, yes. And getting back to for who is this project or what we aim, it's for museums, for governments, for art collectors, for everyone. There are different kinds of talks right now to help recovering a few paintings in different museums, for example, or help restoring damaged artifacts. Yes, that's going through fundings from the governments and like helping there. Yeah, so we participate there and help. We will participate and help when time comes. The selling, for example, in auctions. Yes, we can also do that. The art collectors, the private art collectors as well, because since it's something totally new, and it carries something behind the value, you know, of like, for example, the team or the process that was put there, you know, the time, the funding, the money, everything. That's already something, you know. Like, I don't think we're gonna have any troubles in like navigating this new industry, because all of them kind of said, the governments, the FTA consulting, and art experts say this is the opening door to a new industry. You're creating a new industry. It's and that's another kind of hard path that we had to walk, you know, because many did not accept it at the beginning, you know, because they haven't had expertise in the art or in the digital assets. And they were kind of confused on how to approach this, you know, like how to do that. We can't help it. It's great. Sounds great. Like, wow. I mean, it's crazy good, but we don't know what path to pick and how to help you. So thankfully we found the team that knew how to pick the different paths, the FTAI consultings, and all. And we just bring it all together and made it real, you know, made it happen.
Yeah. So what would you say with that? What has been you and your team's biggest breakthrough into getting to where it is? What would you say to it?
Finalizing the physical one for ourselves, to be honest, you know, because there was a time when we were in situations when we're let down, you know, everyone has that because it's just all on you, your shoulders, you know, and your friend, your colleague, that you're putting all, everything, the passion, the time, the money, everything into your creation, your baby, right? And when we faced sometimes when we faced the wall, yeah, in, for example, in the algorithms, or the non-acceptance from the art experts, because, they kind of not, happy that the technology gets into that sector to validate if paintings are real or not, you know, because they are a little bit scared of that. But since technology advanced, new younger experts join the field, they will use these now, using the new technologies to that. So you can't stop that, you know. We had the troubles there in the algorithms. We solved that. Then another problem was the kind of acceptance that we are really scientifically point of view to kind of bring this idea into life. So that the white paper helped us. Yes. Then the valuation, the certification from the experts helped us as well. Working and acceptance with the different governments from Arab Emirates. Yes. They showed the Minister of Culture, we are now in talks and checking how to help our work together to recover their cultural heritage, lost art. American government, we also working with them to help recovering paintings which that had a huge significance for the American country, yeah. I don't know. At the moment, we've been accepted by almost everyone, yes. Yeah. And we haven't faced a person that was kind of saying, "No, that's a bad idea," you know, "That's a bad idea." But sure, everyone said that's futuristic. That's at the beginning. That's not possible. Not real. You would make it. Don't dream. Don't dream. Focus on your task on daily basis and stop dreaming. But we are dreamers. Me and my friend are dreamers. We always were and will always be. We have many more projects to come, and hope everyone will like them.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited. So with that, Yen, what is your vision of success? What would you like to see Avangard after press conference? You know, I'm sure that's going to be successful. Like in the next year, this time next year, in the next 6 to 12 months, like what are you looking for? What's that next step?
Acceptance and recognition, I'd say, but more like acceptance from the people, normal people, you know. I really want that they truly see the potential, yes, of this new industry, because we think it can be used in other fields, you know, the technology. We really hope they will like that and be the idea being accepted, you know. I don't know. I think we just, you know, the first sellout, get the money, the fundings to keep going, to finalize the other 11 scissors, help different institutions in really resurrecting their art that they really want, and establish the kind of the authority, authenticity of the art, you know, to really help the museums and art collectors use our tools or our expertise in determining if the painting that's going to be sold or they want to purchase or you know, have. It's for really from that outer, you know. That's one, for example, ways. I don't know. There are different paths that we're planning to take, and creating also a virtual museum. Yes, with the help of different film museums, to work with UNESCO. Yes, not long ago, a Baku's supercomputer joined our team. Yes, so we can get there our process to use all their power, to calculate better and get better results. We plan to expand into quantum algorithms as well, yes, and kind of modificate our pipeline, which we already finished the bare bone, yes, the structure. And we hope that it will be finished in like 4 months. And that's just mind-blowing. Will be mind-blowing,
Yeah, that would be. So with you being the co-founder, what does your day-to-day look like? Are you mostly working within the pipelines now that you're more in that leadership position? Are you now having to speak to the government officials due to these over? So what does that look like now? Because you have both sides. You have that technical. The art.
So my job, yes, it's kind of split. Yeah, so me and my colleague, Manuel, we do everything. You know, like we have to be on top of all the processes that are currently being done by our team. And for example, my side is the technical one. Yes, so I have to be programming, analyzing the results of AI, crafting the new ways to find the new patterns that haven't been discovered. Yes, doing tests, plus joining with Manuel, speaking with governments, you know, with different funds, like everything we have to do. Yes, and his job is the same, just not in the programming, but in the economist side. Yes, and Laos. Yes, but it's 24/7. I say, because all the entrepreneurs that have their own company, they have no breaks. There's no holidays. It's 7 days a week, you know.
24/7.
24/7. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It can get even with myself being a founder, entrepreneur. It can get a lot, and that's where you have to find the right team. It seems like you found a phenomenal team, and you know, that are putting this together. So it's finding that and finding people with that passion that have that same goal and so forth. That's critical. And so forth to be scaling and to be successful. So I love that side. So with you and Manuel having to do, would you say that's a bottleneck? Is that something that you're trying to alleviate now, is trying to have more time to focus in to refining? Like, what would you say would be the bottleneck that you have right now that you're looking to overcome?
Right now, there is no real bottleneck. Yes, it's more in personal one. Yeah, to have more time for our family or ourselves. But since we are so passionate about, and our families and friends are, they support us fully. Yeah. So at the moment, we don't have any bottleneck inside of the software side. At the moment, everything is going good in the marketing or acceptance by the authorities of these, authenticity. For example, the certificates was also been accepted. We've been accepted by the governments and ministers. Ministries of culture. Yeah, I don't know. At the moment, everything is going well. Yes. Maybe the problems might be in finding specific canvases, you know, from that time period, for example, because there's not many. And we spent like 3 months just to find the canvas for this painting. Yeah. And we still have 11 ones, but we already have them, thankfully. I think the materials probably are the ones. Yeah. Yeah. We will have to check on that one and maybe work it out with laboratories or the institutions that say the final word. Maybe we have to create them synthetically, you know, but all the molecularly way, it's like the same from that century, you know, because I think that's maybe that's be the bottleneck. But at the moment, the time. I think that also the time, because we will not have we can't resurrect all the painting. It's just not possible for ourselves. It will never happen and during our lifetime. For generations to come, yeah, eventually they will do that. Yeah, and since the technology is advancing, I'm very curious of what can be done in like 2 years, because like every month is just changing everything.
Yeah, no, it's always continuous, hard to even keep up to really to see, you know, and that's where sometimes with this AI, it's become so, it's very buzzwordy. So now it's like, where can we take off where the hype is? And then even without the hype that we've come through so far. And just to see on as it is in the next 2 years. So I'm excited for that. So, you know, yeah, on that side, you know, with, of course, if you're utilizing in these next coming years with AI as it continues to evolve, like what would you say if you had a magic wand utilizing AI, what would you fix? Would you want it just to make sure that you have more time just to free up your schedule to be able to do? Or would it be something else in terms of with AI Vanguard? What would be that if you can change it?
What I would change? Well, there are a few things that we have in our mind. Yeah. So I'm right now picking which one's the best, like not right now to explain. One of them, for example, it's help kind of leave a mark for art collector or an institution to make it like a living art piece, you know, for generations to come. And what that means is that the person that asks for a specific painting or a specific artifact, yeah, you kind of make it by, during years, it will evolve, the physical one, it will evolve and leave a message to his destiny, to his future children's or, you know, like, 20 years, it will just send a message, for example, to his son, yes, in a specific moment, and kind of give just to his son, if, for example, if he dies, yeah, so the son can have something kind of from, you know, kind of living, yeah, from about his father, that soon it will send him some message, you know. From the other side, you know, something like that, you know, like that. Yeah, we have different crazy things. Yeah. But this one was also crazy. And here we are, you know.
I know. And I came from, my wife and I came from Italy. And just, I love ancient historical culture, like the Roman time, ancient Greek. It's like, I love just learning more about ancient historical pieces. So you just bringing that back and, you know, you hear that when you go through the Sistine Chapels or when you're going through anywhere else, there's sometimes it's been altered and they do their best. And sometimes it's not the, you know, the authentic brand. So those are the things. So I love what you and your team are doing. I'm really excited for that, you know, for the audience and for any, you know, partnerships or anything else that might be listening to. What do you want people to really know about Vanguard or, you know, where in terms of partnerships or just with a collectors, what would you kind of say?
Yeah, well, I guess never give up to your dreams, you know. It's all on you. It all depends on you. Perseverance is the key. It's our main motto, word, you know, that me and my colleague use. And what we want is that to share our story, yeah, to share our story that everything is possible if you keep going, you know.
Yeah.
Just keep going. Eventually you will get it, you know.
Yeah, I love
and that. And how we can help resurrect the lost heritage, and that's what our main idea, and something to leave a mark.
Yeah, and you already have. You're obviously making towards those steps. I'm really excited to see just in the next few months, you know, what you have, you know, in the pipeline to see that new iteration. So, you know, with that being said, with our artists, where can they learn more? Where can they be able to see, you know, the 12 Caesars, but where can they either follow your journey in or for AI Vanguard as a whole?
Website, we shared the story behind and the process. It's there in our LinkedIn profiles as well. We share stories there, but we don't really use any social medias, you know, like Instagram or anything like that, because we are not selling a product that we produce every day, you know, like it needs time to finish that, because it's not for the audience of the social medias, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I fully get that. It's as to your point, the passion of it's restoring. You have a mission goal of restoring back, of getting that historical accuracy to that. So yeah, and so thanks so much. This has been great. I was being able to talk with you beforehand. In your story, you're already impassioned, your team, you, Emmanuel, and the entirety of AI Vanguard. You guys have done an amazing, you know, job in bringing this futuristic nous to present. So, you know, following your journey and so forth else. So thanks so much for coming on to the show.
Well, I invite you to your presentation to the showroom.
I'd love it.
The painting, so you're more than welcome. And thank you for inviting me. I'm more than happy to share our story. Yes. I don't know, we could talk here for hours.
I know,
you know. I know. But yeah, I hope the listeners will enjoy this this story and how the AI can help and create and assist the human. But we can't forget one thing: it's not fully AI production. You know, it's the creation, but human and assisted by AI, like a tool, as a tool, you know. So in my opinion, AI will never move us from the jobs, or, you know, or take our places, our spots in different companies or something like that. I don't believe that. It's just a tool.
Yeah, I think so too. It's like with anything, similar to like with the mathematicians and utilizing a calculator, it's having that, you still need that expertise. You still need, you know, to
everything.
Be able to do that. Absolutely.
So it doesn't have a creativity, you know?
Yes.
It's just
correct.
Based on what we feed.
Only data.
That's it. Only data.
So, yeah, and thank you so much to the audience. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
And thank you, Solomon. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Advantage. If this episode sparked an idea, share it with your network. Subscribe for more no-fluff conversations on how smart tech drives real outcomes. And if you're ready to future-proof your business, let's connect at solonox.net.